The Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Let the caissons go rolling along. That's the Army song.
And we had a Tucson winner. If you're, the last four digits of your cell phone are 9326, just email the info, info@rosieonthehouse.com. The address you would like the ticket sent to. These are physical tickets. They're the size of business cards. We'll drop them in the mail at the end of the broadcast today.
They should include.
Your mic's not on.
Sorry. They should also include their full name and their phone number. That helps us to connect some dots. That saves us a step. So if you're going to email us, give it to us all. That'd be great.
And Tucson, every August 20th, they have an annual celebration. Now, it has been canceled here and there for various reasons, but they do have an annual celebration for the birth of Tucson. August 20th, 1775. Just think, you had the Spanish army claiming Arizona and Tucson just a year before the colonials and the Declaration of Independence and go to war with the English.
I always try
on
to
the think, other side of the country.
I just always try to picture how vast and empty it would have been coming here as an early settler. You know, like, why are we here? Well, there's a little water here and some mountains all around, and where are we?
Does Tucson celebrate St. Patrick's Day? If you said an Irishman.
Uh-huh.
I wonder, do they celebrate St. Patrick's Day if an Irishman founded the town? Always thought about that.
I think everybody celebrates.
Yeah.
Irish or not, right?
If it involves a little drink, sure we do.
Well, we don't have to worry about wars in our backyard right now. What we have to worry about is which restaurant to go to. It is Restaurant Week in Arizona. And you can go to ArizonaRestaurantWeek.com and pick a variety of restaurants that are participating. And you've got three-course meals for either $33 or $44. And in Tucson, there's the Firebirds Wood and Fire Grill is participating. It's an American steak and seafood along with El Encanada restaurant that's on Campbell and Skyline. So you got a couple great options for the Tucson area.
Well, and if you're going to be going out for a fabulous meal, take a minute to just thank good Lord for this country we have, for the soldiers that have fought for us, for the freedom we have. You know, we take so much for granted. We have in studio with us this morning founder of the Veterans Heritage Project, Ms. Barbara Hatch. And she's been kind of telling us the story of how this project got started. And Barbara, one of the things you said last, in the last part of our last segment was that kids born since 9/11 have a patriotic sense because those are our heroes. But you and I grew up in an era where our generation that came home from the Vietnam War was not respected. So you really do have an important mission here and an opportunity to reset that and bring back that thankful spirit for our soldiers. So what have you found as far as...
I found that the veterans coming home today, the first people down there to meet them are the Vietnam War veterans.
Wow.
It's kind of a way to get the welcome home... In another way, I guess, the Patriot Guard that show up at the National Cemetery for the funerals, you know, it's their way of getting some recognition. But when we first started this program, the Vietnam War veterans sometimes just said, no, I don't want to talk about it. But in the past 15 years, they are reaching the point where they feel safe enough with young people and the public in general to talk about it. So we're going to be there to listen to those stories. And our speaker on Monday at the Cave Creek Cemetery is a Vietnam War veteran, Frank Lambert. So we're honored to hear his story on Monday.
I guess you are. That's just a great reset for them and a great opportunity for them to find that respect that they never got. So tell us some of the top, you know, some of the most memorable stories that have come out of this quest for you.
I thought I'd pick two. One was a World War II veteran who served at Tinian and Iwo Jima, Bougainville, all the big Pacific battles. And one of the students in my class had come up to me and said he was going to be absent for a week. Would I give him some homework? And I said, where are you going, Max? And he said, well, my brother died in the Middle East, and I'm going to Camp Lejeune, where his buddies are going to honor him. And I couldn't believe it. And so here's this World War II Marine. And he just, when all the rest of the class had left, he took this boy's hands and he just held them and he looked at him and the world could have melted away. And he talked to him about his brother. He didn't know his brother, but there was a connection between them that was absolutely beautiful because he understood. So that was one moment, the connections that are made between students and veterans. Another one was with a Vietnam War veteran who was a dog handler, and he lives out near the Cardinals Stadium. And he's so attached to dogs that every time they lost one of their dogs in Vietnam, there was a cemetery there for the dogs. And so we did the interview, and it was around Christmas time. We were selling Christmas trees up in Cave Creek, and this boy, he was a freshman in high school. His mother got sick, went to the hospital, and died. It was so quick. Well, our book went to press in February, and he hadn't written Tom's story. And I said, Ian, I really need you to get this story done, but, you know, you've been through so much if you want me to write it. And he said, no, it's my story. So I wrote the story. We drove out to Tom's house, and he read it out loud. And to look at the love on Tom's face, knowing this boy had just lost his mother, who was not really very old, was beautiful. He sat and listened to the story, all the painful parts of it, and at the end just said, that was beautiful, man. And I'm here for you no matter what you need anything, just give me a call. And that boy now has graduated from college. So these connections are deep. By the way, when that Marine was dying, and knew he was dying, one of my students, who is now a doctor, was at the house, and they were visiting, and he was very concerned about his pain medication, and they're visiting. But when I arrived, the daughter of the veteran was reading all the thank you letters the students had sent over the years. And I sat down with Ed, and I'm babbling because I know he's passing away, and I'm kind of at a loss for words. And he wasn't speaking anymore, and I looked at him, and I said, well, Ed, you were a Marine. And he hadn't spoken in days, and he looked at me straight in the eye, and he said, Barbara, I am a Marine. I said, yes, sir, and I sat up straight and I saluted. But these connections that the students made go way beyond this program. And so this, you know, the lessons that they teach them, not just war lessons, but how to live, how to deal with adversity, how to go on with your life, how to give back and serve in any way they can. They're not there saying you need to go in the service. They're there to say you live in a great country. You honor me by continuing to serve it. So we're very grateful to all those kids who come away with those life lessons.
Do you find that those relationships last past the articles written?
Some do, some don't. It's sort of the nature of the student, the nature of the veteran. But for sure, even if the contact doesn't last beyond that, the messages do and the lessons that I've seen these students live over 20 years. You know, every now and then they will drop me a line and say, guess what I did? Mm. One student was sitting, he was driving back to school in Texas, and he was sitting at a rest area, and he noticed a guy in a military hat, and they have radar for that. And he noticed he was struggling, and he walked right up. Now, what kid does this? Walked right up and said, are you okay? And they sat and talked for like a half an hour. Mm. And it wasn't a lifelong connection, it was a moment. But I think both of them went away feeling like something had been achieved to do a little bit of healing for that veteran, whatever he was going through.
You also mentioned to me about a young woman, a young teen girl, who just wasn't much of a student, but this was something that she was drawn to. So can I also draw kids into learning and doing?
The students who come to do this, there's just something special about them. And this sort of carving out a place in high school where you have an important job to do, I mean, it creates safe spaces in a high school where there's so many different kinds of kids and they all need like
a connection.
A connection in high school that makes them feel powerful because it gives them motivation to go on in life and to know I can achieve things as well. And I've done this long enough. Some are in the service, some are doctors, they are lawyers. But what they all are to the core is they are good people who care about others.
Well, we talked a little bit earlier about needing. You need teachers to take on the project. And once you get a teacher, do you find it's difficult to find the students? Or as soon as you get the teacher, you find the students?
It varies. One thing I've learned as having been a teacher myself for 40 years, I recruited them. I'd be like the poster. I need you. If I saw a kid that I saw had the fire in the eye and I was teaching that student, I said, I need you in the program. You've got the right, you've got the skills, you've got the interest, you're a good listener, you're a good writer. And so that does it. You can't just say, oh, there's a club, come join. Sometimes we'd have a veteran stand on the club day. Students would wander over who had interest. And so you have different ways to encourage students. Sometimes they just want to be around that teacher because they love that teacher. Well, so we need good teacher advisors. We need students who are willing to go out and listen and write the stories. We need volunteers on our board to help us achieve this mission of connecting students with veterans. So being a board member, just being a committee member, we have a lot of veterans who formed an editorial committee so that we can pass the stories past veterans. They may catch aspects that the students don't understand. We finally had our first special event this year to raise money for the program, and we had a Medal of Honor recipient, Sammy Davis, the real Forrest Gump. Tom Hanks's face was superimposed on Sammy's face when he got the medal from President Johnson. So we work on these special events.
You are a 501c3.
We are a 501c3.
People can find you at veteransheritage.org, and I'm sure that y'all could certainly use donations. It's a big project you have, a big undertaking, big vision, important one. So that would be a good place for people to connect. If you're a teacher, you know, consider being part of the program. If you're a student or you have a child or a grandchild you think would be a good fit, this is a good place to connect as well.
And I would tell you that the most important interview student does is often with a grandfather or a father who's never told the story to a family member. And so that is a real connector for families.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Barbara.
You are welcome.
I hope that we've piqued some interest and that you'll get some feedback from today. I want to keep track of you. This is a great story.
Thank you.